We don't all have your icy nerves, Investigator. And dealing with the crew's problems, real or perceived, is part of my job. Still, it's interesting that you and I never heard these voices.
Our minds are a lot more disciplined than they used to be. Perhaps we've become harder to fool.
Perhaps. Either way, I'll let Cross run the sensors for a few more minutes, and then...
Unidentified ship, Captain. Only just in range, but it's coming straight at us at one hell of a speed.
Yellow alert. Look sharp, people. Cross, put it up on the view screen.
It's still in the dark void, sir. We won't see it for a while yet.
Could it be an alien ship?
Unknown, Investigator. But at the speed it's moving, it'll be here soon.
Silent studied the darkness on the view screen, carefully keeping his face calm and unmoved. His crew chattered around him on the bridge, powering up the ship's weapons and shields. People were reporting in from all over the ship as they took up attack positions. Silent smiled slightly. The doom and the gloom on the bridge had completely vanished. The unknown ship might be a threat, but it was a threat the crew understood.
The ship's slowing, Captain. I think it knows we're here. It's almost at the edge of the dark void. We should have it on the screen any moment.
He broke off as the ship appeared on the view screen, came to a full stop just beyond the rim. It was a simple metal sphere, bristling with instruments, mute and menacing. It was also very familiar, and quite definitely human.
Getting details now, Captain. It's an Empire Star Cruiser, Class C.
Cross looked back at Silence, surprised, before checking his instruments again.
There hasn't been a Class C ship in service since the beginning of the century. Its shields are down, but it's making no attempt to contact us. I'm using the standard hailing frequencies, but there's no response. It looks to be in good condition, no obvious signs of damage.
Could it be a pirate ship?
Doubtful. They wouldn't be caught dead in a ship as slow as that. A pirate's career depends on being able to outrun his pursuers. But if that is an Empire ship, what the hell is an old croc like that doing out here on the rim?
Maybe it's a ghost ship. And Silence regretted the word ghost the moment he said it. He didn't need to look around to feel the tension rising on the bridge again. Cross, there should be an identification number on the ship's hull. Find it and check it against records. See if you can put a name to it.
Already have, sir. It's the Champion. My grandfather's ship. Reported lost with all hands 107 years ago.
That's impossible. I remember the story. Whatever happened to the Champion is one of the fleet's great unsolved mysteries. But its last reported position was halfway across the Empire from here. How did it end up in the dark void?
A good question, Captain. Another might be, who's running the ship now? It was moving under its own power through the dark void, and someone brought it to a halt here, facing us. And since they must know we know there's someone on board, why aren't they talking to us?
It has to be a trap of some kind. Could it be an alien ship disguised?
It's not a hollow image. Exterior is exactly what it should be.
Alien or not, I'd say the odds are extremely good that this ship is the source of the unsettling phenomena you've all been experiencing. The ship's appearance could be a part of that. Psychological warfare. Cross, take us to red alert. All shields up. If this is a disguised alien ship, it's not going to get the chance to hit us like its brother did over Golgotha. Bring all guns to bear, but nobody fires without my express command. There was a hum of new activity as the bridge crew busied themselves. They all remembered how close that other alien ship had come to cleaning their clock permanently. They were looking forward to a little payback. Frost leaned in close beside Silence.
I have to say, Captain, that the odds of this being an alien ship are really rather small. All the sensor readings seem to be insisting that the ship facing us is indeed the long-lost Champion.
I don't want to panic on my bridge. Personally, I think both chances are equally unlikely. More probably, this is a trap of some kind. Maybe even a first shot from the new rebellion. Either way, I want my people primed and ready to blow the snot out of that ship at the first wrong move. Communications officer, what readings are you getting now?
Mostly confusing ones, sir.
Cross scowled down at his panels.
Most of the new ship's systems are down. No defensive shields, no activated weapons, and no life support. No atmosphere and colder than hell. It's just hanging there, dead in the water. I don't even know how it got there. All my instruments seem quite convinced the ship's drive is cold. There's nothing to show it's been used in one hell of a long time.
Life form readings?
Not a thing, Captain, human or otherwise. There's always the chance it could be an old plague ship.
Ghost ship, plague ship, you're a real cheerful sort to have around, Cross, you know that? We're going to have to take a closer look. Maintain red alert, but keep the long-range sensors open. If there's one ship out here, there might be more. And I don't want us getting hit while we're distracted. Investigator, put together an away team. You and I are taking a pinnace over to that ship to see what's what.
I suppose I'm wasting my breath in pointing out that as captain, you shouldn't risk your life with an investigating team.
You are indeed. Whatever that ship is, I need first-hand information before I can make any decisions. Stelmach, would you care to accompany us?
Not really, no. They don't pay me enough to volunteer for missions like this. In fact, they couldn't pay me enough. Have a nice trip, Captain. I'll be right here when you get back.
Captain, permission to join your team. If that really is the Champion, my grandfather's ship...
We won't need a communications officer.
But we might need someone who could tell a fake Champion from the real thing. All right, Cross, you're on the team. Second, you have the bridge again. Let's go, people. They crossed over to what might be the Champion in a pinnace. Silence, Frost, Cross, and six security men. They all wore hard suits. The Dauntless's sensors had been quite specific that there wasn't a single life support system working in the whole ship. Silence patched into the pinnace's sensors through his comm implant and studied the Champion thoughtfully as the pinnace drifted closer. It was as though the bulkhead turned transparent where he was looking, giving him a clear view of the mystery ship. It looked heavy and clumsy compared to the sleek Star Cruisers he was used to. The old C-Class had been something of a compromise between speed and weaponry that in the end turned out to favor neither, which was why it had been quickly bested and replaced by the D-Class. Even so, the Champion was something of a legend in the fleet. She'd been one of the Empire's foremost exploratory vessels, checking out new worlds for alien contacts or colonization, and brought 14 new planets into the Empire during her short life in the service, before she went out to the rim once too often, and was never seen again by human eyes. Until now. Silence put the thought aside, and concentrated on the starship looming up before him, hanging like a great white whale in a dark sea. It grew slowly larger, filling the space between them, so that he could no longer see the rim or the dark void beyond it. And finally, the pinnace drifted to a halt, only a few feet between its hull and the Champion's. Try the hailing frequencies one more time. Silence did not take his eyes off the vast white metal wall before him.
Still no response, Captain. Pinnace sensors confirm no life forms anywhere on the ship.
See if you can open the Champion's airlock with a general override signal. Cross bent over his panels and then shook his head.
No response. All the systems must be down. We're going to have to crack it open manually.
No surprises there. Silence closed down his comm link to the sensors, and the pinnace's bulkhead reappeared before him. He looked around at his team one at a time, making eye contact so they could see how calm and assured he was. All right, people, pay attention. We're going out through the pinnace's airlock in our hard suits. Investigator Frost leading. We're right up against the Champion's airlock, so all we have to do is step outside and open it. Cross will operate the manual override on the outside of the airlock door, and then the investigator will enter the lock itself. She will go through alone to check out the situation. Once she gives the all clear, I want you cycling through that airlock as fast as you can go. There's no telling what shape the mechanism's in after all this time, and I don't want anyone left outside.
What if something happens to the investigator?
Then you back off and the Dauntless blows the Champion to shit. Because if I can't handle it, you sure as hell can't.
Once we're inside, we will make our way to the bridge and activate what systems we can. Everyone stay together, but don't bunch up. And keep your eyes open. The champion is to be considered hostile territory until proven otherwise. You are authorized to use lethal force on anything that moves, with the exception of your teammates, so don't get jumpy. Investigator, lead the way. Frost nodded and moved over to the inner door of the pinnace's airlock. There was a pause as everyone put on their helmets and made sure the seals were secure, and then Frost opened the inner door and stepped inside, followed by Silence and Cross. The three hard suits filled the airlock from wall to wall. They waited patiently as the air was flushed out, and then Frost opened the outer door. It opened slowly, silently, revealing the champion's outer hull, only a few feet away. Silence gestured to Cross, and he stepped forward onto the outer edge of the door. He reached out a gloved hand to the small wheel, clearly marked on the outside of the champion's airlock, and took a firm hold. Silence moved in beside him to brace him once he started exerting pressure. The pinnace's artificially produced gravity didn't extend beyond the airlock. Cross's armored glove closed around the wheel and turned it inch by inch. The outer doors of the airlock slowly parted, and a bright light suddenly appeared within the lock. Silence relaxed a little. At least some of the champion's systems were still working. The doors crept farther apart, until finally Frost was able to step carefully from the Dauntless into the champion. The doors closed over her again, and Silence could only wait. He could feel her presence through the link they shared, and her calm composure helped to settle him.
The airlock is functioning perfectly. I have light and gravity, but no air. The pumps are working, but it would appear they have no air to work with. The inner doors are opening. Lights have come on beyond them. I'm now in the corridor outside the lock. No movement anywhere. Still no air, and the temperature is way below zero. You might as well come on over. There's no sign of any welcoming party.
Stay where you are. We'll be right with you. Silence worked the lock's outer doors again, and he and Cross passed through into the champion, followed quickly by the security men. The corridor beyond the lock was brightly lit, but uncomfortably narrow, and the low ceiling seemed to press down above their helmets. The walls were covered with cables and conduits and tightly packed instrumentation. The Empire's designers had been cramming in every extra improvement they could think of right up to the last minute. None of it looked particularly dated. The Dauntless might be more efficiently arranged, but the systems were still pretty much the same. If a thing worked, the Empire tended to stick with it.
Interesting.
Silence turned automatically to look at Frost, though all he could see was her featureless helmet.
According to my suit's sensors, the light and gravity are only a local phenomenon. The rest of the ship is still powered down, which would seem to suggest someone knows we're here.
Could be the ship's computers.
No, I don't think so. They would have turned all the life support systems on.
Try general address on your comm. See if anyone answers.
This is Investigator Frost of the Dauntless, representing the Empire. Respond, please.
They waited a long time, but there was no reply. The comm channel was empty of everything, even static. Silence's back crawled, feeling the pressure of unseen watching eyes. The words ghost ship came back to him, along with the half-serious stories that were always circulating during his cadet days. Tales of dead ships populated by dead crews, sailing silently through the long night on journeys that would never end. Skeletons on the bridge, or dead men rotting at their stations, heading for some far-off destination the living could never understand. Silence had to smile. He hadn't realized those stupid stories had made such an impression on him.
Let's make for the bridge, people. Maybe we'll find some answers there. Investigator, lead the way.
Frost patched into a map of the champion's structure, provided by the Dauntless's computer records, and set off down the corridor. Lights turned themselves on ahead of them and turned off behind them, so that they moved always in a pool of light surrounded by darkness. Weight remained constant at one gravity,
but there was still no air or heat. Silent said the security men check out each room and compartment they passed, but though there were frequent signs of people's lives, there was no trace anywhere of the champion's crew. There were unmade beds and abandoned meals, cards discarded in mid-game, and doors left ajar, as though the people involved had just stood up 100 or so years ago and walked away from their lives, never to return. Silence kept thinking he could see things moving on the edge of his vision, but every time he looked, there was nothing there. Shadows moved disturbingly around the small party as they moved deeper into the ship, their hard suits eerily out of place in the crew's quarters. They all had the feeling they were being watched, even though the ship's security cameras clearly weren't working, and the security men spent as much time checking behind them as they did the way ahead. Frost, of course, just strode on through the empty corridors, calm and unmoved as always. Silence stuck close to her. They finally came to the main elevators. Silence plugged in a portable energy pack. They came back online. There were walkways, but it would have meant a long climb to the bridge. Silence split the party into two groups, just in case, and they made their way up to the bridge in separate elevators. The cramped metal cages took an uncomfortably long time getting there, not least because they insisted on stopping at every floor in between, but eventually the elevator doors opened onto the bridge, and Silence led the way forward with something very like relief. If there were answers to be found anywhere on this ghost ship, he should be able to find them here. There was no one sitting in the command chair, skeleton or corpse, and the workstations were unmanned. No sign of any crew. No sign to show they'd ever been here. It was just as Silence had expected, but he still felt obscurely disappointed. Something really cataclysmic must have happened on board the Champion to mean abandoning the bridge like this. And yet, there'd been no signs of attack or mutiny, no damage or signs of haste. Cross leaned over the comm station and tried a few warm-up routines, and then turned away.
Everything's shut down, Captain. Give me an hour or so and I should be able to bring something online. Half these systems will have to be reprogrammed from the bottom up, but everything seems functional.
The autopilot's still working. Someone must have fed in the coordinates that brought the ship here.
Hold everything. I've got the security cameras up and working, which shouldn't be possible, but watch the monitors.
They all crowded around Cross and stared at the bank of three monitor screens attached to his station. They lit up in swift succession, as though they'd only recently been turned off. Cross switched rapidly from one camera to another the length of the ship, scenes appearing on the view screens one after the other, pausing just long enough to give a continuing feeling of emptiness everywhere on board. From corridors to engineering, sick bay to crew's quarters, everywhere was still and silent. It chilled the captain to his bones to see a ship so abandoned, so deserted. He tried to remember more about the history of the Champion, rather than the legend. The captain, Thomas Pierce, had been something of a fierce officer by all accounts, a strictly by-the-book man, as hard on himself as anyone else. Everyone agreed he ran a tight ship, right up until the day it disappeared. He would never have walked away from his ship, no matter what his crew did. He'd have hit the auto-destruct first. Silence wondered what Pierce would think now if he could see so many posts abandoned, so many stations unmanned. No, he wouldn't have walked. Someone or something must have taken him.
Hello? What have we got here?
Cross fussed at the panels before him, muttering to himself and stabbing awkwardly at the controls with his armored fingers. Hard suits weren't meant for delicate work.
I think I've got something, Captain. The cameras in the main cargo hold are out, but I'm getting some information through the ship's interior sensors. There's something down in the cargo bay. A lot of somethings.
Hardly unusual for a cargo bay.
It is when the computer manifests are convinced the ship isn't carrying any cargo at all this trip. And even more interestingly, all these somethings are roughly human in shape.
Life signs?
Not so far. But whatever these things are, there are hundreds of them.
Then, for want of anything better to do, let's go and take a look.
Silence left four of the security men on the bridge to watch the monitors and run further checks on the instruments, and herded the rest of his team back into the elevator. It was a long way down to the cargo bay, but at least they didn't stop at every floor this time. Silence chose to see this as a good omen. The doors finally opened on the main cargo bay, and Frost made the others wait in the elevator while she checked out the situation first. She kept them waiting an uncomfortably long time before waving them out. The bay was deserted, but the lights had already been on when the elevator doors opened, almost as though someone was waiting for them. The bay itself was huge, with intricately marked steel walls surrounding a vast open space. They'd emerged at ground level, like mice creeping out of their hole. Frost signaled for the group to stay together while she locked the elevator doors open, just in case they had to retreat in a hurry. As far as Silence was concerned, she needn't have bothered. He'd never felt less like wandering off on his own in his life. Still, as captain, he was expected to provide a good example, so as soon as Frost gave him the all clear, he stepped confidently forward to take a look around. Away from the elevator, the sheer size of the cargo bay was almost overpowering, but Silence's attention was drawn immediately to the bay's sole cargo. Hundreds of long, mirrored cylinders, each the size and general shape of a coffin. They'd been laid out in neat rows, forming a perfect square. Silence checked them out from a cautious distance with the limited sensors built into his suit, but the coffin shapes gave up no information at all. He couldn't even tell what they were made of, never mind what might be inside them.
That's the crew, isn't it?
Could be. The numbers are about right. Only way to find out is to open a few. Investigator?
Way ahead of you, Captain.
Frost strode forward pugnaciously. Silence gestured for Cross and the two security men to stay with him.
Take it slow and easy, Investigator. There's always the chance those things are booby-trapped.
I'll bear it in mind. Now, a little quiet, if you please. I have to concentrate.
Frost stopped just short of the first outer rank, tried her sensors again, and sniffed disgustedly as they failed to provide any useful information, even at close range. Each cylinder was 7 feet long, and the correct proportions for a coffin. Plenty of room for a body inside, and any number of unpleasant surprises, too. Frost knelt down by the nearest cylinder and got her first surprise when she realized the mirrored surface wasn't showing her reflection. She examined the edges of the cylinder carefully and got her second surprise. There was no sign of any seals or openings. The entire cylinder seemed to have been produced in one piece. Perhaps formed around something. The word cocoon occurred to her, echoing in her mind with a significance she couldn't pin down. She straightened up and looked at the rows of cylinders stretching away before her. She had been intending to open one by force, with her gun if necessary, and trust to her hard suit to protect her, but she was beginning to think that was what she was supposed to do. More and more, the whole place felt like a trap. The cylinders were too tempting, and there was too much light, as though the cargo bay was a stage, waiting for the action to begin. Frost reached out cautiously with her gloved hand to tap the lid of the coffin, and her hand sank through the shining surface as though it was some silvery liquid. And inside the coffin, something grabbed her armored hand and squeezed it hard. She lurched forward, caught a balance, and her arm plunged further through the lid and into the coffin. She quickly braced herself against the steel floor and pulled back, but whatever had hold of her wouldn't release its grip. She could feel the pressure even through her armored glove. She gritted her teeth, snarling under her featureless helmet, and pulled back with all her strength. The suit's servo mechanisms whined loudly. Her arm slowly reappeared from the lid, and then her glove, clasped by a dead white human hand. The weight on her arm was suddenly lessened as a dead white face appeared through the shining lid, like a drowned man's face surfacing in a river. And then the dead man was out of his coffin and standing before Frost, smiling, still holding her hand in his. Her first thought was that it was a Fury, one of Shub's killing machines in a human skin, but then she saw the marks of drastic surgery unhidden on his shaved skull, and she knew at once what had happened to the champion's crew. He was a ghost warrior. All around her, dead men were emerging from the silver coffins, like vile gray butterflies bursting out of shimmering cocoons. The man before her wore a dated fleet uniform, torn and stained with long dried blood where his death wounds had been. His skin was dead white, and though his smile was inhumanly wide, there was no emotion in his face and no life in his unblinking eyes. She could hear Silent shouting at her to get away from the dead man, but his gaze held her like a hook she could wriggle on, but not escape. The dead men were rising everywhere now, silent and calm, their movements filled with an implacable purpose. And then the blast from an energy weapon tore away the head of the man before her, and the headless body slumped to its knees. She was suddenly herself again, freed from the dead gaze, and she fell back a step, tugging at her captured hand. The pale finger still gripped her firmly, despite all her struggles. Frost drew the sword on her hip with her left hand and hacked savagely at the pale wrist. The blade sheared clean through, and she staggered backward, released. The dead hand still clutched at her glove, and she had to cut it away finger by finger as she hurried back to rejoin Silence and the others. They were all firing now, energy bolts leaping from the disruptors built into their gloves, and dead bodies were blown apart and slapped aside. But still, the hundreds of dead moved purposefully forward. Frost took up her place between Silence and Cross, too angry to be frightened or worried. She'd fought every kind of alien in her time, and thought there was nothing left in the Empire that could throw her. But something in the dead man's gaze had held her as securely as any chain. If Silence hadn't blown its head off, she'd have been standing there still, until the dead overwhelmed her and dragged her away to make her one of them. She had no doubt it had been Silence who freed her. She'd have done the same for him. She took a deep breath and settled herself.
Well, at least now we know what happened to the champion's crew. Those bastard AIs somehow got their hands on them, scooped out their brains, and replaced them with their filthy computers. We found a whole ship of ghost warriors.
Shub is right on the other side of the Empire, but we'll let that pass for the moment. It'll be another 2 minutes before our disruptors recharge, and I have a strong feeling these creeps could manage something really unpleasant in that time. So everyone free your swords and back away. We are getting the hell out of here.
There was a muffled clang behind them as the elevator door slammed shut.
That's not possible. I locked them open.
Someone's watching, and they don't want us leaving just yet.
I'll try the bridge. Maybe they can override. Bridge, this is Silence. Can you hear me?
Something's got to them. We're on our own.
The dead men stood facing them, row upon row, inhumanly still. One figure stepped forward, wearing an outdated captain's uniform. Silence tried to recognize Thomas Pierce, but the face before him held nothing of humanity in it. One eye was missing, replaced by a camera lens, and the scars of brutal surgery were clear on his forehead. He came to a halt before Silence, carefully out of a sword's range, smiling widely, as though he knew what a smile was supposed to convey, but didn't know how. His kind weren't used for diplomacy or conversation. Ghost warriors fought Shub's battles with humanity, as much for psychological effect as any functional superiority. The dead man wore a gun and a sword on his hips, but so far it made no move to draw them. Silence found that disturbing. It implied the ghost warriors wanted him alive. Pierce's lips moved, and Silence heard a slow, horribly impersonal voice through his comm implant.
Captain Silence, Investigator Frost, you must come with us.
Why us?
Yeah, I feel left out.
You are different. Changed. It is necessary that we discover how.
Tough. We have other plans. Call our secretary and make an appointment. Captain, get those elevator doors open. I'll hold them off.
Frost stepped forward, her sword held in both hands, and swung it around in a vicious sideways sweep with all her strength behind it. If it had connected, it would certainly have beheaded Pierce. But he raised his arms impossibly fast and blocked the blow. The blade sank deep into his arm and jarred on splintering bone. In the split second, while Frost was still off balance, Pierce reached out with his other hand and snatched the sword out of her hand. Frost snarled and hit him in the throat with her armored glove. The hard suit's servo mechanisms amplified the strength of her blow, and she could feel the sickening crunch as her fist crushed Pierce's throat and snapped his neck. His head hung at an angle, but the expression on his face didn't change. He threw her sword aside and reached out with both hands to grab her shoulders. She kicked his legs out from under him, and he fell sprawling on the steel floor. The other ghost warriors moved forward in an unhurried, implacable advance, and Frost knew there were just too many of them to be stopped by anything she could do. She checked the timer inside her helmet and opened up with her disruptors again. Energy blasts erupted from her gloves, slapping aside the advancing dead men like so many curling leaves caught in a fiery breeze. But then her guns fell silent, and the ghost warriors kept coming. Pierce was back on his feet again, reaching for her. Frost grabbed up her sword again, determined she'd die before she let them drag her off to Shub's bloody laboratories. Silence and Cross got to the elevators and used their amplified strength to force the doors open. The two security men charged into the lift, pulled the control mechanism out of the wall, and began quickly preparing an override. Silence would have liked to turn and see how Frost was doing, but he needed all his strength to hold the elevator doors open. They strained against his hands with an almost malevolent urgency, and Silence could hear a faint straining sound from the servo mechanisms in his suit's arms. He was wearing an exploratory suit designed for protection, not the stronger and better equipped battle suit. It wouldn't last much longer. One of the security men yelled out in satisfaction, and the pressure from the doors was suddenly gone. Silence and Cross let go of them and hurried into the elevator. They turned as one and opened up with their disruptors. The energy bolts blowing away ghost warriors to either side of Frost.
Get your ass over here, investigator. We are leaving.
Frost turned and ran for the elevator without hesitation. There was no dishonor in running from ghost warriors. They'd keep coming as long as their computer implants remained intact, no matter what state their bodies might be in. The only answer to this many ghost warriors was masked disruptor cannon. She threw herself into the elevator, and the security men let the elevator doors close behind her. Dead fists beat against the doors, denting the metal. But Silence had already hit the up button. He hit it a few more times, just in case, and took a deep breath as the elevator began to rise.
Dauntless, this is Silence. Do you hear me?
Loud and clear, Captain.
Check the sensors. Any life form readings on the Champion's Bridge?
No, Captain.
Damn. All right. We're heading back to the Pinnace in a hurry. This ship is crawling with ghost warriors. You are not to allow the Pinnace or any other vessel from the Champion to dock with you until sensors have confirmed that only the living are aboard. Once we've docked, open up with everything you've got until there's nothing left of the Champion but a few glowing atoms. If we can't get to you and you consider the Dauntless to be in danger, forget us and blow the Champion apart anyway. We're expendable. Is that clear, Dauntless?
Clear, Captain. We'll give you every second we can, but you must be docked before we open fire. Otherwise, the energy will fry you.
I know, but the Dauntless's safety comes first. Confirm.
Confirmed, Captain. Good luck.
The elevator slowed suddenly, catching them all off balance. The security men at the controls swore dispassionately.
Something's finding my override. I don't know how much longer I can maintain control, Captain.
Stop at the next floor. We're getting off. Can't risk being taken back down again.
The security man nodded, and the elevator lurched to a halt. The doors opened, and Silence and his people spilled out into an empty corridor, swords at the ready. Silence accessed his map of the Champion again, displaying it on the inside of his helmet. They were seven floors down and quite a distance away from the airlock that would give them access to their pinnace. They'd have to stick to the walkways and hope the ghost warriors didn't have some way to block them. He dismissed the map and looked at the two security men. Their blank helmets stared impassively back at him, waiting for orders.
There's no point in going back to the bridge. Your comrades are dead. I never even knew their names. Tell me yours.
One of the men indicated himself, and then his friend.
Corporal Abrams and Corporal Fine, sir. Don't mind Fine. He doesn't say much.
Pleased to meet you, Corporals. If we get back to the Dauntless alive, you're both sergeants. Now let's get moving. Frost, take the point. Cross, watch our rear. Move it, people!